Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing our study in Titus chapter 2, specifically focusing on sound doctrine, looking at the message that Paul has given to Titus, which obviously starts at the beginning of the letter. We have looked at chapter 1. And now we are continuing the study in chapter 2. And again, the emphasis here is on sound doctrine and Titus's responsibility as it relates to sound instruction. So Paul has already communicated here at the beginning of chapter 2 what Titus is to speak, that is what he is to preach and teach. And we've worked our way down to verses 9 and 10, and this is where I want to resume our study today, and I will read from the New American Standard Bible, and we will continue with the study. It reads, "Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect." So we've looked at verse 9, and we left off really at the end of verse 9. So just a reminder concerning the terminology that's used here when we speak of bond slaves or servants, as it's translated in the King James Version. We want to be careful not to misapply this, but to understand it in its proper context, which is to say, this by no means justifies slavery as we know it, and as some understand historically, specifically, you know, here in America. So we want to make sure that we are not using this as a means to justify slavery in our time, and misapplying this or not understanding it in its proper context. So I want to be very clear about that. And I do understand that just like the gospel and just like other passages of scripture, this scripture has been used to justify the wickedness of slavery and over the course of history. And I certainly do not apply it in that manner. So this is within the context of proper relationships, binding relationships between servants and masters. And this is why the Apostle Paul communicates it as he does regarding the obligation that the servant or the bond slave has to his or her master. So again, looking at what Paul has communicated already, which is what we've studied already concerning the responsibility for the bond slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, not to be insubordinate, but to be obedient, to obey their masters in this relationship. And understand once again that this is in the context of believers. So as this is being communicated, this is what Titus is to teach believers. So there are believers who are bond slaves, and as a bond slave, their responsibility is to live for the Lord and to serve faithfully as a servant of the Lord. And this is where, again, the sound doctrine, this is the direction that sound doctrine takes us in, or this is the instruction that is according to the sound teaching that Titus is to communicate. And if it weren't a problem, or if this were not something that was misunderstood, then there would be no need to address it. But of course, we sometimes misunderstand our responsibility regarding our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and not understanding that as a servant of Christ, as a bond slave of Christ, then we are owned by him. We've been purchased by him, and therefore our lives are not our own to live and to do as we want to live and to do what we want to do. It is a matter of serving him and glorifying God because of what he has done for us. So, and we'll see how Paul speaks more to this as we continue here in chapter 2. But, you know, I just want to make sure that we understand this point. So we've already talked about how the servants or the bond slaves are responsible to be well-pleasing. And that, again, is a part of their commitment to be acceptable and agreeable, to have an agreeable relationship based on their responsibility and their obedience to their masters. So they are to be agreeable rather than being disagreeable, disputing, refusing, speaking against their masters, you know, speaking back and not serving well. So this is what this is about. It's about the relationship, but it is most importantly about the relationship based on your obedience or their obedience in this case to Jesus Christ. This is what the Lord says you are to do. This is how the Lord says you are to live. So to rebel against this teaching is to rebel against the Lord. And this applies to both servants and masters, but the emphasis in this case is on the responsibility of the bond slave. And of course, in other portions of scripture, and I believe in Ephesians and Colossians, the responsibility of masters is addressed by the Apostle Paul as well. So it's not as if it's a one-sided relationship, but again, in this case, this is what Paul is communicating. So if we go back to what he has said in chapter 1, we realize that the Cretans are very resistant. So they already seem to have this reputation for being insubordinate. And so it does seem to follow that Paul would need to address the issue of insubordination, disobedience, and things of that nature more so than the responsibilities of the masters in this context. So this is what he's dealing with at this time. And as Christians, I think, again, if I can just emphasize this relationship that we have with Jesus Christ being his bond slaves, you are not your own. We are not our own. We do not have, we no longer have rights to our lives. Our lives now belong to Jesus Christ, if you're a believer. And if you're not a believer, then this is foreign language to you. But I communicate to you that there's no better place to be than owned by Jesus Christ. I can guarantee you that. And that being the case, it's important for us to understand that how we live is to be a reflection of the Lord we serve. And this is what Paul is emphasizing. You do not belong to yourself. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God has called us to live accordingly. And this is the message that Titus is responsible for communicating to the people of God concerning how they live. In this case, again, we're focusing on the bond slaves. So he says, again, Paul says to Titus, as he moves from verse 9 into verse 10, he says, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. And this word is communicating purloining in the King James, and the King James uses the word fidelity, but it's speaking to the same thing. So if we consider what the Apostle Paul is communicating here, continuing again with the responsibility that bond slaves or servants have in their relationship with their masters, and most importantly, concerning their responsibility to live for the Lord Jesus Christ as bond slaves of Christ and as bond slaves of their earthly masters, then they are not to pilfer or not to to steal. They're not to embezzle, you know, or keep something back for themselves as it relates to their role within the household or their role to their masters. You don't steal from your masters. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Serve faithfully as people of faith. And this is what Paul highlights when he says, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. So you're showing your faithfulness. You're showing as a person of faith, you're showing your faithfulness as a servant. And this again is what Titus is to, this is the instruction that Titus is to give to the bond slaves. You go again back up to chapter 2, verse 1. Speak, but as for you, again from the New American Standard Bible, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. And then as we progress through these verses and come to verses 9 and 10, here are some of the things that Paul tells Titus he is to speak concerning sound doctrine. And this is for concerning the bond slaves, that they are to not steal or embezzle or pilfer or run off with something that doesn't belong to them, or hold back that which belongs to their masters. Even in relation to service, you know, they are to serve faithfully in all good faith, showing all good faith, showing yourself trustworthy. Paul says this in one of his letters to the Corinthians, where he says, moreover, in a steward, it is required that a man be found faithful. You know, if you've been given charge over something, or if you've been given the responsibility, then you are to be faithful. You know, the Lord says, and we hear this oftentimes at funerals, and when we understand or communicate about the work that the Lord calls us to and how we are to serve him in the work that he's called us to. You know, we always say we want to hear our Lord say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, right? Good and faithful servant. This is what the Apostle Paul is communicating right here to Titus concerning sound doctrine, and more specifically concerning bond slaves in relation to their masters, you know, to be good and faithful servants. And good and faithful servants don't withhold or embezzle or steal from their masters, and they do not withhold their service from their masters. So if I could apply it in a context concerning our relationship with Jesus Christ, we don't withhold our service that we owe to Jesus Christ as our Lord or Master. We don't withhold that. So as we should understand, there's no such thing as an unemployed Christian. We are always employed in the work of the Lord. And this is what we're reminded of in 1 Corinthians 15:58, where the Apostle Paul says we are to be therefore, because of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, because of the life that he's given us, because we know that he's coming back for us. In the meantime, we are to be committed and to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And this is what the bond slaves are to understand as well. Their faithfulness to their earthly masters has a heavenly reward. And this is sometimes what we lose sight of along the way here. And we lose sight of the fact that our service to our heavenly master, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has a reward. He's going to reward us according to our faithfulness to him. And faithfulness to the Lord is obeying the instruction that he gives us through the pastors, preachers, and teachers according to the word. And that's why the Apostle Paul makes it clear, holding fast to the faithful word. If you look at chapter 1, verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. So again, you don't just get to come up with your own doctrine. You've got to use the word, the scripture that God has provided. And that is how we instruct God's people. And that is how we know that the doctrine is sound. So as we continue with what the Apostle Paul is communicating here in Titus chapter 2, verse 10, where it speaks of not pilfering or stealing, but showing all good faith, that is being faithful, being a faithful servant, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. So as we again consider that, what is the purpose of this? What is the purpose for the bond slave living this way in obedience to their masters? Well, it is so that they will, again, decorate or adorn the instruction of God, so that they will demonstrate that they are in line, that they are in harmony, but it's really a matter of obedience, and your obedience reflects the doctrine or the instruction that God has given. So rather than being disobedient, which then does not highlight or bring out the instruction of God, because that is your motivation. That is my motivation. That is our motivation as believers, is to be in step or to follow the instruction that the Lord gives us. And when we don't do that, then we are not adorning his, we're not adorning his word. We're not demonstrating the order of God's instruction, because everybody's doing what they want to do. You find that in the book of Judges, right? When there was no king, every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that is contrary to godliness. That is contrary to following the oracles or the instruction or prescription that God has given to guide us. And I think this is what makes life as we know it today, especially, so confusing for so many, because it appears that we dismiss the doctrine of God and we have no concern for adorning, you know, adorning his doctrine, you know, laying forth the beauty and the power and the soundness, the wellness, the uncorruptness of God's word. When we walk in obedience, when we reject that, when we disobey, then we don't put God's word at the forefront. We don't adorn it. We don't show the beauty of living according to his word. We live according to ourselves, and God's word has no place in our lives, and that is that certainly is contrary to godliness. So it's something for us to think about, because the Apostle Paul gives that as the reasoning behind this. You know, this is the purpose for living this way, is to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior, and he says in every respect. So again, it's pointed out here that God is identified not just as God, as it were. So it's not just adorning the doctrine of God, but adorning the doctrine of God our Savior, which again is tied to what the Apostle Paul is going to go into here next. So God has delivered us. God gives us instruction to live for him. And so you adorn that. You show that you are living according to God's instruction. Why? Because he saved us. And so we live for him. Well, we live for him in what ways? Like what are sort of the when do I get to live for me? Well, the answer is never, because it goes on to say, so that they will adorn again in Titus chapter 2, verse 10, at the end of verse 10 here, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. So, you know, this is where we are desperate to have this newfound liberty, in addition to the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, being set free from sin and death, and now being given the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Then now that is an eternal relationship. And so we live for him always and in every way. And I think that's the best way to say it, you know, in relation to everything. We live for God, no matter what our standing, status, or our occupation in life is, we are to live for God. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is communicating here. And this is the responsibility that that Titus is to, again, reinforce and make clear concerning the bond slaves. Listen, we have a responsibility to live for God in every way, always and in every way, no matter what station we find ourselves in life. So this is our position, and as servants of Jesus Christ, then we are to be faithful servants in this life, and particularly in this case concerning bond servants or bond slaves. They are to be faithful, and they are to demonstrate their faithfulness to God and his word. And this is how they live this out in relation to their masters. This adorns or decorates the instruction of God our Savior in every way. Why do you live the way that you live? Because God has delivered me, and he has instructed me, again, through his son Jesus Christ, and according to his word, he has instructed me to live obediently. Not just to him, but obeying God means obeying my masters, as it relates to the binding agreement between bond slaves and their masters. So fulfill your duty. That's what it really relates to. So as we continue and look at verse 11, Paul again gives the reasoning behind what he has just communicated to Titus concerning sound doctrine. So this goes again back to chapter 2, verse 1, and we look at what the Apostle Paul communicates as the reasoning for this sound doctrine that Titus is to communicate in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. So Paul says in verse 11, and I'm reading again from the New American Standard Bible, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." And we look at verse 12, "instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." And I'm going to hold right here for a minute and focus on verses 11 and 12. So again, you know, what's the relationship between this sound doctrine that Titus is to teach, speak, preach, and the grace of God? Well, this grace of God that has appeared is the motivation and the reasoning. That this is why we live the way that we live. We live because God has set us free from sin and death and the wickedness of this world to live for him in this world. So this is what the grace of God does. And we we so often and easily misunderstand and misapply the grace of God. We misrepresent it. That is to say, we feel like the grace of God is a license to continue in sin. So in other words, we've been set free from the consequences or excused from the consequences, but we don't have any responsibility. And again, that is contrary to God. That's a contradiction to what God instructs us to do, how he instructs us to live for him. So the reasoning is the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all. And when it speaks of all, it is not just men, it's humans, has appeared to all humanity. And again, think of this in the context in which Paul is presenting it. In other words, Christ has been revealed. Christ has been revealed to the Word. And this is the manifestation of God's grace. It is not just the message, as if there's no person, as if the message is not about a person. And that person, of course, is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the reasoning for this sound doctrine that the Apostle Paul is communicating, that Titus is to be responsible for preaching and teaching, that he is responsible for speaking and sharing and instructing to believers, then it is because of God's graciousness. The graciousness of God, the way that God has demonstrated or acted on behalf of humanity, for the good of humanity. This is what God has done. And as he speaks to this, he speaks to it in relation to the salvation that is brought about according to God's grace. So what does the graciousness of God result in? Or what does the graciousness of God deliver or bring? You know, he brings, through his grace, he brings salvation. And this is what we find in the words of the Apostle Paul when he speaks in Ephesians, when he says, you know, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that, again, is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. By grace you're saved through faith. And again, it is the gift of God. It's not of works. No one can boast in salvation, because salvation is the work of God. And it is according to the grace or the graciousness of God. God's favor, God's gift, God's own pleasure, which is what what Paul communicates in his in Ephesians, speaking of God's pleasure, God's purpose. And this is, again, what he points out here in Titus chapter 2, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Okay, and this is not like an automatic. So he's not saying, okay, God has brought salvation, therefore everyone is saved. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that the grace of God, and again, in the New American Standard, has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And again, in the King James, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Either way, it's the grace of God that brings salvation, and it is presented as a gift of God to all men, all of humanity. So we're going to stop here today, and we will continue with this, Lord willing, when we meet again. But until the next time, remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.